All right, so next up on our agenda is the Capital Improvement Program Sales Tax 10-year renewal. I'll kick it over, I'm assuming, Griggs, to Public Works Director?
Yes.
All right.
Okay, good evening. My name is Shane Creech, and I'm the Public Works Director. I have Allison Anderson and Richard Stone with me tonight to help keep me in line. Tonight, we'll attempt to provide a project update on the current sales tax and provide some information to assist moving forward with the next sales tax. The current sales tax is a quarter cent and runs from 2016 through the end of 2025. Therefore, the sales tax must be renewed every 10 years. The sales tax is divided up between transportation projects, public safety projects, and other large city building type projects. We would anticipate going to the voters either in August of 24 or possibly as late as April of 25. The finance department helped us develop this slide. This slide shows estimates done prior to each of the past two ballots and how those funds were broken up across public safety, transportation, et cetera. This slide also shows estimates for a new ballot and what we might look like if we held public safety at 23%, the same as the last ballot. It's important to note that these percentages are obviously at the full discretion of you, you as city council. Additional funding comes from development charges. These development charges are assessed on new construction at 50 cents per square foot of total floor area. This charge has been in place since 1989. These funds can only be used for the construction of collector and arterial streets by ordinance. And we also receive yearly funds from Boone County and their road tax. Typical uses of these funds for public safety include fire truck replacements, new fire station construction, and major facility repairs. The Molly Bowden Neighborhood Policing Center was paid for out of these funds, as was the newly opened fire station number 11. In addition to streets and sidewalks, Public Works had funds in the current ballot for renovations to the existing Grissom building and development of a South Salt Dome facility, which we will cover later in the presentation. For the 2015 ballot, a list of proposed projects was developed by Public Works and vetted by a council-appointed task force. That led to a ballot list, which was supplemental to the ordinance and ballot language. This list included major maintenance projects, street and intersection improvement projects, and annual-type projects. If you get nothing else from this pre-council tonight, it should be the need to develop this task force or something similar. The task force usually consists of a couple council members and community members appointed by council. I will now turn it over to Allison to provide a project update on the current sales tax. Allison also has a copy of the 2005 and 2015 ballot list to hand out for reference.
So I'm jumping in to, we're in our current 10-year program, which is 2016 to 2025. So I'm going to jump in and let you know kind of what we've completed and what we're still working on for those projects. So we had three street major maintenance projects. The major maintenance included, it was more than just a mill and overlay. It was, we were doing dig out repairs for base failure. We were doing curb and gutter repair and sidewalk repairs, and then we would still do a mill and overlay. So we had three projects, Range Line and Walnut. We have both those completed. In Garth Avenue, we had our IP meeting, and we're working on preliminary plans based on comments from the IP process. So that's where we are on those. We also had some listed intersection improvement projects. These projects were to improve the intersections for both traffic flow and safety, and we included both the vehicle use and non-motorized improvements in them. Form and Green Meadows, we completed, that was a roundabout. We completed two roundabouts along Nifong, one at Sinclair and one at Old Mill Creek. The Vandiver and Parker roundabout we have completed as well. That Ash Street, it started out as intersection improvement, but through the public process, it's kind of changed to non-motorized improvements along there. So we are working on the preliminary plans for that. And then Fairview and Chapel Hill is our last intersection project. And we are working on the preliminary plans for that one. Also, for listed projects. We had some larger road improvement projects. Ballinger Lane was the first one we completed, and that included putting shoulders on the road and doing an overlay, and we try to add contact or connect the sidewalks from the subdivisions onto the shoulders so that the shoulders could be used for non-motorized for walkers and bikers. Nifong was another project that we've completed, and that was a pretty large project that included additional driving lanes, intersection improvements, bike lanes, and sidewalks, and a mill and overlay. Discovery Parkway we've completed, and that was a actual new road that we used to construct over at Discovery Park, and it connected over to New Haven. It was a new road. Right now it is two lanes with bike lanes and sidewalks, and it's graded out so that we can expand it to four lanes in the future when that's needed. And then our final listed project for the larger road improvements is Forum. That project, we are working on the preliminary plans. We've had the interested parties meeting on that, and that also includes like additional driving lanes, intersection improvements, non-motorized improvements, and mill and overlay, and replacing the bridge. So that's a very large project that we're working on. So as Shane said, along with our listed projects, we also had categories that were more what we called annual funds. So like sidewalks, traffic calming, stuff like that. We just added money to throughout this 10-year period, and we worked on projects as they came up. Basically, they're smaller projects or larger projects that came up, you know, 10 years is a long time, more stuff comes up. So the first of the annuals was sidewalks. So we've done a lot of sidewalk projects. For the most part, for sidewalks, is filling in sidewalk gaps. We have a few where we're repairing sidewalks as well. We try to follow, for the most of these projects, we pulled off with the sidewalk master plan. Also, these funds, we've been able to make go farther by applying for MoDOT TAP grants and CPG grants as well, so that we can do even more projects.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
A number of these projects, construction in 2026, but I assume that they're all still paid for within the CIP through 2025, correct? Mm-hmm. That money just carries over. Mm-hmm. And then as you've been constructing these and completing them, especially more recently, I would suppose that we've seen an increase in what the cost was versus what was projected. Is that right? And how do you address that?
Well, for like the sidewalks, we didn't have like a number of sidewalks that we were going to get done. So, and then we have been trying to pull in, you know, MoDOT's had a lot of like TAP grants and stuff like that. That's helped as well. So I think like Nifong, that was kind of projected and to be one of the later projects. So I think we're still going to have like enough money for Nifong, the big road improvement project that's coming up. And
the Forum.
Or yeah, Forum. I'm sorry.
Project,
yeah, that's what I meant.
That's going to be pretty major. Yeah.
Yes.
And the same will hold. We'll be able to manage.
When did you
that.
Say?
Well, we'll be able to manage paying for that using the CIP tax and
we should, other yes.
That we're going to receive. We plan. We hope to receive. Okay.
Also, just to kind of address that, some of the projects we've been able to get, like the Discovery Parkway, I forgot to say, like Discovery Parkway, we did end up doing governor's cost share, so it was a 50-50 cost share that helped pay for that one. And then Ballinger MoDOT actually put money towards that project as well, and then we took over the road for that one. Some of the other projects we've been able to apply for some MoDOT money for, to extend those.
We've been able to take that money. Half of Discovery, we didn't have to pay for it. Therefore, you spread that out. You know, some of that money went to Forum. So, you know, so as prices have gone up, there's also some contingency in there too. You know, but I don't think anybody could have anticipated the inflation we're seeing in the last 10 years. But we've been real lucky.
These are some other annual funds that we had. One was the annual city, county, state projects. That fund we use mostly for cost share, but for projects that were kind of you know, borderline city MoDOT or city county projects. Like the Keenan I-70 and the Route K and Sinclair were both 50-50 cost shares with MoDOT. And projects that we have coming up, the old Route K and Old Plank Road roundabout is a 50-50 cost share with MoDOT. And the Ridge replacement, which is under construction right now, was a BRO grant from MoDOT, which is an 80-20 split. Our next annual was the annual street reconstruction. We used that for some smaller projects that came up, like our Lenore Street that we have completed. And then the Wabash was a small extension of Wabash Street to kind of help with Vanver Drive. Annual traffic calming and traffic safety projects, that's where we do all our neighborhood traffic calming projects following the neighborhood traffic management program and Vision Zero identified improvements. Another one was the historic brick street renovation. That's for maintaining the brick streets downtown. And we have a project coming up that we're really preliminary on the design right now for Cherry Street. We're doing some of a block of that completely, trying to redo that brick. The annual landscape projects, that's following the urban forest master plan. That's like with, was it Nifong? Like we went back and planted trees along there and this other kind of plantings we're doing in the right of way. And then finally we have the annual street corridor preservation projects. And that's for, if there's project or properties that come up for purchase that we think we're going to need for a future road project to be able to purchase that property and kind of set it up for the project in the future. So those are our annual funds. Like Shane said, there was also funding for some other kind of general government projects. One was Grissom Building renovations and one was the South Municipal Center. These funds that we got from this valid period kind of gets those projects set up, but they're going to need additional, both those projects are going to need additional funding, which we're going to address with the next the next 10-year ballot is what we're proposing. So we're going to get to those a little bit more later on the presentation.
Allison, really quick on this one. Mm-hmm. So, you know, some of the Grissom Building renovations, I mean, some of the grants we recently received will kind of offset some of this, but are we still estimating that cost?
Yeah, we talk about it a little bit later.
Oh.
But the raise grant that we got was transit specific. Mm. So we're still, as we go through the agreement process with Federal Highway and Department of Transportation, we don't know how much of that we can use as crossover. You know, there's some crossover in operations out there. So we don't know how much of that we'll be able to use, but even with that, the full build out of the Grissom Building would have taken more funds than is in that.
Right, right. Right. I just make, you know.
We're trying to figure out what those phases look like based on this influx of money, which is awesome. How much of that can I actually use for street operations and things like that and stay within the guidelines of the grant?
Well, my other question is more on timing, right? So that probably has a lot stricter of a timeline to get done by as opposed to our own internal improvements.
Yeah, and that's all part of that phasing. We'll have to do transit-related stuff. How do we set ourselves up so we're not carrying out the same thing twice?
Right.
The street side of it. So we had a full-blown Grissom master plan in place. And now we've got money for the transit side. So we kind of got to reshuffle the deck just a little bit, okay. How we're going to phase it.
And then my second is for the second project up there. At some point in time, this was a combination with multiple departments, correct? This municipal service, is that still the plan?
No.
Okay.
This is a
public works alone.
It will start phase one with a salt dome and basically a salt dome alone. But as the city grows, the ability for public works to be in a couple different locations has a lot of advantages. So there'll be a future phase of that, probably even a third phase that wouldn't even be addressed. We wouldn't even dream of being addressed with this ballot.
Okay, thank you.
And just what was handed out, the first two sheets are from the ballot that we're working on right now. And I think that was handed out like when the group went around and talked to different civic groups prior to the ballot being voted on, just as a kind of FYI in the list and stuff like that. And then the last sheet is from the 2017 2006 to 2015, what projects were on that one is on the last sheet. So that's kind of the difference between those.
Thank you.
Okay. If you remember from the finance slide, there was $81.8 million, and that was 65% of the estimated revenue of the new sales tax. These breakdowns don't quite match the 2015 ballot list, but we'll cover each of these slides in greater detail as we go through the presentation. Our decision-making process for the listed projects consisted of soliciting a list from Public Works staff and started with 66 projects. We narrowed that down to 25 projects, 18 of which we conducted a highway safety manual analysis on. The other seven were potential county or state cost share projects. We then added in major maintenance street projects.
Is there a matrix for getting to those 66 potential projects?
Not really. It was more just looking at traffic accidents, traffic projections. We looked at, it's on the next slide, we looked at CATSO, where the CATSO major roadways are. So it was a combination of things. And so staff started with a great big list of projects, and then we started sitting down and tried to narrow those down by, further narrow those down.
So these would just be projects that they would be aware of because of their ongoing work in the community and on the field,
a lot
basically.
Of them. We have like a DOT project, which is our, kind of keeps all our projects in. So we started out with that list and kind of dwindled that down, and then other needs that we knew of and kind of worked
on. And something to remember when it comes to DOT project is anytime there's a project that Tim's staff in community development is handling, where they've got a new development, if they were required to put money into a project, like we had to create a DOT project to put that money in. We have someplace to put that money dedicated to that project. Well, if that was the only development on that roadway, let's say, well, that project wouldn't rate very high. If there was projects all along that roadway, then that would rate a little higher. So those are the funds. That indicates the funds that we have that were dedicated by development at times. And so that's why there's so many projects, and not all of those projects are necessarily something that we believe would be necessary in the next 10 years based on what we see development-wise. That's always a little difficult. You might think it's going to develop in the Southwest and develops in the Northeast or whatever, but you're trying to stay out ahead of it as best you can. So we started with 66 projects, reduced that to 25. I covered all that. So safety was a major factor in the process that we used, and we wanted something that was driven by data. That includes those highway safety manual ratings we'll talk about here shortly, collision data, growth projections. We also used the CAP and CATSO long-range transportation plans when making those decisions. And I'll now turn it over to Richard to discuss each of these components just a little bit further.
So kind of as part of that conversation around the universe of options, narrowing it down based on previous ballot initiatives, projects that were identified but didn't get in that previous ballot, all that. So we tried to use this highway safety manual. So highway safety manual started being developed in the 1990s. FHWA, DOT, at the federal level was trying to come up with a more methodical approach to how to rank projects. And in 2010, they adopted the Highway Safety Manual, and it's being developed over time too. So it's what's called crash modification factors, and it's an attempt to look at the future. If nothing was done on a road, what would happen if nothing was done? And either using empirical Bayes data analysis to what would happen with those crashes. So then you come up with what's called an expected XX expected average crash frequency. Long way of saying how many more crashes are going to have if you didn't do anything. So we hired a consultant out of Locke Mueller. They're a pretty in-depth traffic, kind of geeky traffic guys that really looked at all of this. As part of that, they tried to rank what would be the best ones, and we'll get into that slide. We also looked at, how do these projects weigh in with the CAP? Every current direction from council. You guys can direct us to go someplace else, but we do a total transportation network approach when we do a project. So all of these projects that we would recommend would fit within that category of making sure that non-motorized transportation is part of that constructed project. Basically, bicycle lanes, sidewalks, those type of improvements. How that fits into the rest of the CAP. So there's a document that we can refer to as we develop this process and come up with a list and see how it works with the CAP. And then the CATSO long-range transportation plan. So a whole group of folks that are trying to figure out how, from a large macro scale, how traffic is going to move around the community. So utilizing that potential projects, every project that we would say would be in this, hopefully that you would say would be in this, would somehow fit into that long-range transportation plan, including the bicycle and pedestrian network plan that's in that. Currently, CATSO is going through the process of writing the next long-range transportation plan, but we have previous long-range transportation plans to refer to that's done every 5 years. So as part of that, this was the list that from an expected crash, excess expected crash perspective, this is the list of projects. If through one lens, this would be the ranking of those projects, but that's not all of the lenses that we'd have to look at. So we'd have to weigh in on how we would rank these projects. Clark Lane sits at the top of this one, and we also agree that it probably should remain a really strong focus. We've applied twice for the Safe Streets for All grant through Federal Highways. Neither time have we been awarded a infrastructure grant, but we just were notified last week that we did get some planning grants to do some of the project work that we did for the RSA that we recently talked to you about. So we're going to pursue some of those safety improvements for Route B for that fall in line with that RSA. So we're using that previous information. Richard.
Acronyms, yeah. RSA.
Road Safety Audit, I'm sorry. Yeah, Road Safety Audit that we did for Route B. Moving forward, sorry.
It's okay. Engineers, we're used to you
now. Trying.
Now that we know, you can keep going.
So what we really think that I think eventually we're taking data that we get back from Federal Highways when they say, we're not going to award you this infrastructure project, and trying to figure out how best to frame our next ask, which would probably be in the notice of funding opportunity is going to come out in February. It's probably going to be due sometime in June or July. So we're going to try to do a better job of making that ask. And if that project, if Clark Lane gets funded, then we wouldn't necessarily need it for the next ballot. And we'll just keep looking at other opportunities to fund any or all of these projects as part of safety improvements.
Okay. If we take the highway safety manual ratings and use them in a vacuum, and we negate economic impact, connectivity, emergency response, things of that nature, here are the projects we could fund with the just under $60 million we have allocated. But that obviously leaves six very worthy projects on the table. If you remove one from this list, you can obviously add one, in some cases more projects. Changes in percentage allocated to public safety or other governmental projects would also impact this list. We don't anticipate this list to remain unchanged through the process. We just thought it was important to give you some idea of how far that money would go, which isn't far enough.
Yeah, Nick.
So when you're talking about a task force, this would be part of their task to review all of these and come with recommendations about it.
We fully anticipate kind of going back and saying, it's where we started at 66 projects. Here's how we got to these 25. Here's why we looked at these projects as a place to get that task force off the ground. There's also a public safety component to that. Well, so the task force has got to include folks that are looking at what the needs of fire and police are as well as part of that process. So we're just here to talk about public works. And so really, those are some of the basic things. Is what do you want to do and what's that percentage look like? And that's going to tell you how many projects you can do. So major maintenance projects, repair pavement failures, curbs, sidewalks, etc. This process also improves the pavement rating, which is a strategic plan goal. Public Works has been blessed with $2 million in additional funding the past few years. That was from transportation sales tax money that was set up to go to the airport. When the airport got their grant, some of that money was given to us to do maintenance. That money runs out. But we've been blessed again with the use tax, and that was about $1.5 million. So we're about $500,000 short of what we've had in the past this year. How we go forward with that is a discussion for the next ballot process. However, something we need to discuss as part of this is how much money we allocate to major maintenance type projects versus the listed projects we just discussed. You can add more major maintenance, you know, just basically redoing the road where it sits today, not a widening project or something like that. Determining how, basically what percentage we spend on new projects versus like these major maintenance type projects. Most of the potential projects are self-explanatory with a couple of exceptions. Old Hawthorne Drive was built around 2006, but it was not to the street standards we have in place today. Essentially, the lack of base rock under the roadways caused failures that aren't easy to correct without major maintenance. The range that's listed has more to do with the limits of the work we choose to perform. We did the whole stretch. That's the higher end. There's some sections that are in worse shape than others. We could do some of those. It isn't necessarily the situation we want to be in, but the situation that we've got to deal with.
Can you speak to the State Farm Parkway?
Sure.
That's not a very long stretch.
Yeah, there's a base failure that led. It's into some specifics as to the reason, but basically there's a longitudinal crack that developed on in one lane, and over time that's going to continue to deteriorate. There are some options. Most of these are listed. They would take such a large chunk of normal street operating funds that's what we're trying to get at with these, is that, you know, that would take a third of the overall maintenance for the entire city for one small stretch. So that's what we're trying to identify here.
Okay. So it would be easier and really more cost effective to replace,
yes,
a lot of the pavement versus doing the repairs.
Yeah. We had some failure on State Southampton, and we did a major project to basically tear out the road and rebuild the road. We were able to do that a few years back. That's sort of what we'd be looking at for this. We'd analyze whether or not that was truly necessary, but something along that lines is probably necessary for that road at some point. We can baby it along a little bit, but at some point you're throwing sort of good money after bad, right, trying to just without rebuilding it.
Okay, sorry.
No, you're all right.
I mean, and interrupt you.
Well, can I ask a clarifying on that example, as well as the one you gave with Old Hawthorne? Are these ones that were built when it was a private? You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't necessarily public, or did Public Works build these, and it was just that we didn't build them the first time? I'm thinking about the age of some of these.
Yeah, both. Old Hawthorne was built by a developer and then turned over to the city with a different set of standards than we have now. State Farm Parkway was built with as part of a construction project in the 2005 ballot initiative. And for whatever, when I say for whatever, I know the reasons why, but it did not hold up as well as it could have. We have changed some of our standards on concrete installations to get rid of some of the issues that we had on that one.
Because we have other streets that we're still taking on every year from development. And I just, you know what I mean? It starts to make me think, what am I doing for future councils when they're going to have a thing? Is there
really starting to put base rock underneath the roads? Really, I think is a big major step to improve the quality of the roads that we take over. And we look at that on a continual basis. If there's something we've had issues with concrete, like the concrete mixed design itself, where we've made changes. So it's a constant thing to look for how to make those, you know, how to make the roads last longer. And
well, especially also like as the climate changes and it gets hotter and we have more of those extreme temperature, I'm wondering.
Yeah. And while it kind of looks the same from the surface, the construction materials change over time. The availability of construction materials changes over time. Like a lot of the ledges that are good rock have been used up in this area. So you got to be kind of careful as to what type of rock is going into concrete. So we're constantly trying to monitor that and change our spec to still get the best product that we can get with the available resources that we have to put towards that.
Thank you.
So that delayed me having to talk about Broadway. So we'll talk about Broadway now. So Broadway between Garth and West is in need of major maintenance as well. However, if there's any desire to consider widening that roadway, that would make that a project that would go on our listed projects and not a major maintenance project. Really what it comes down to now is it's base issues again. If we go, we need to replace that section. Mm-hmm. If we're gonna do that, we need to decide what the future of that roadway is. We don't wanna go in there and replace that whole section and say, you know, it'd be a great idea to widen Broadway. Well, then we should have done that before we go do that section. So again, no one likes to talk about that one. I knew that one was very popular. I'm happy there was other questions before it got to me.
Well, so there was, there was at one point in time a plan that was in combination with the surrounding neighborhoods and that conversation. Do you recall what year that was?
Well, there was a couple of different iterations of it, 2005, 2008, and finally in 2010, 11, 12 was the final.
And I can't recall what the conversation was. And I mean, there was something about the central lane, whether or not we would need to even widen it. Or, you know what I mean? Like there was some conversation around that.
Yeah. A lot of that centered around too, and this kind of falls into some utilities. There's a very, very old water line in that area. And at some point that water line is going to need to be replaced. So when you'd rather do that replacement
at the same time,
as either in combination or, you know, as in conjunction, we would not want to build the roadway and then have to replace the water. Right. That's kind of part of it. Ultimately, what came out of that process that you were talking about was a three-lane section with sidewalks or a wide sidewalk on one side. Another sidewalk was kind of the recommendation, but it just kind of ended. It didn't move forward through the actual public process.
And we've done some mills and overlays through this section before, but if we've got base issues, it just won't last as long. So in other words, the most expensive kind of maintenance we do won't last as long as we want it to, so we'll be out there doing it again. And so at some point, you've got to address the actual problem. And so that's why.
Yeah.
That's your timeline. The most recent mill and overlay on that section was 4 years ago. It's going to last through next year, so we're probably going to be back needing to do something in the next couple of years.
Okay. Betsy.
I just wanted to, I'm not sure what the future of Broadway between Garth and West Boulevard is, but one of the things we need to think about is that we're talking about a major redo of Ash Street with a lot of widening there with much smaller front yards, trying to make that a major thoroughfare. And I'm wondering at what point we need to sort of marry these two and consider whether we need to address widening Broadway to maybe make that more the car-centric road and cut back a little bit on Ash Street and make that more pedestrian and bike-friendly. So I'm just bringing that up because it didn't occur to me when I was listening to the Ash Street widening discussion sometime last year. Yeah. Not going to be very popular, though, I know.
We obviously have more needs than funding, and this slide communicates that quite well. The first seven listed here were part of our original 25 projects. I talked about that. We did 18. These seven are cost-share type projects. The others have been added in the last year or two, in part due to all the grant money that's currently available. When you compare the $60 million we have estimated for road projects with this list, you can quickly see we need substantial assistance to move many of these forward. The ones I hear the most about, I haven't been in this position for close to 2 years, are business loop improvements, the Stadium Boulevard extension to I-70, and the Scott Boulevard extension to I-70.
Those projects would consume 40, 80, and 100% of the funds, respectively, we have allocated to the listed projects we discussed earlier. So we'll continue to pursue grants as they become available and work with our partners at the state and the county. However, as I've mentioned a couple times already, everything's on the table for discussion. I just thought it was important for you to see, when you hear somebody say Scott Boulevard extension, that's a $90 million job.
What, and remind
that by ourselves.
And Shane, remind us, these dollar amounts, a lot of those that involve a new construction or a widening in a county area, the Graceland example there, does that include the total project cost, like including the environmental surveys that would be needed to do for like the extension to 70?
On the ones that involve MoDOT roadways, when you talk about federal, we looked at that. The ones that are the county, you wouldn't necessarily have to go through all that, depending on which one we're talking about. So it varies. But yeah, we were trying to look at the total cost. And so
including proper like acquisition of property, like are those yards on Grace Lane? Sure. Okay.
You know, that's all part of that. Just realize it's very preliminary estimate.
In a nebulous sort of, yeah. Yep. Okay.
Yep, very much so.
Clear as mud.
Let's see here. So when it comes to traffic calming, we would probably propose reducing a little bit the amount we have dedicated to traffic calming in this ballot. We believe a lot of the heavy lifting's been done. Our typical projects are relatively affordable. You'll see those come through, and they're $40,000-$50,000 to put in speed humps and speed tables. That tends to be what residents are after. They aren't after. That's what we get. That's the feedback we get. So that's what we've been doing. We've also received one round of Safe Streets for All money, and we're just notified that more is on the way. So we're not really changing the amount of money that's in traffic calming and traffic safety. We're just moving more of that money to traffic safety is really what it comes down to. That's where we think we'll be able to spend the money the best in this next ballot.
When you say moving me from the previous.
Yeah, from the previous one. It's our recommendation, as I think Allison mentioned earlier, that we choose projects off the sidewalks, the city's sidewalk master plan. We like that because that helps us with the politics. Somebody's already come up with that. These are the sidewalks. We're picking it off of those. The reason we don't like to name sidewalk projects, preferably, and again, we can have a ballot list that has named sidewalk projects, but we're able to be a little bit more adaptable. The MoDOT's got some. Like, we just got TAP grant money for a section of Oakland Gravel and a section of Vandiver. Those are the ones that appealed to MoDOT the most. So those are the ones we're going to get TAP grant money for. So that helps us make that dollar go farther. And so, you know, like I said, though, if we want to list specific sidewalk projects, we can do that. It just makes us a little less flexible. That's really what it comes down to. We also, the city has the new residential 50-50 cost share program. I've got $200,000 budgeted in fiscal year 2024 for that. But part of this discussion with this group would be, how much money do you want to dedicate towards that? Because that would take away from that. Or if you wanted $500,000 there, there's less money to do sidewalk projects, more money to do cost share. We got to talk about that and figure out what that looks like going forward. So that is just a map showing the locations of projects in the city's sidewalk master plan. There's a process to get a sidewalk added. Tim's staff kind of runs that process. So that's usually what we say when somebody comes along and says, hey, I'd like to see this sidewalk done. We usually kind of pass them on to, here's the process by which you would go and get your project, get that street added to the sidewalk master plan. That helps us. I hope that helps you all, but that's kind of how we handle those. We propose $3.2 million to provide for contingencies or scope creep. Ash is a good example. We went into that looking at intersection improvements, turned into a very pedestrian friendly type project, which was great, but we budgeted for four intersections. And so the ability to have a little bit of money to tap into when those kind of things happen, inflation, we talked about that earlier, those kind of things. It's been the desire of past councils to plant street trees in the right-of-way where possible, associated with our more major roadway projects. This funding helps us address our urban forest master plan. As you might imagine, as we plant more street trees, there needs to be more money and staff allocated towards maintaining that investment. So previously, in the previous time, we didn't plant very many street trees, so we didn't have that many we had to maintain. As we continue to do that, I have to have staff that can do that, staff with expertise to do that too. So I start to become in a situation where I need folks that know something about trees instead of roads. So those kind of things all rear their ugly head at some point. I'll now turn it back over to Richard to discuss the other governmental projects that relate specifically to public works.
So kind of shows you a list and the general costs associated with what was identified in the other governmental projects. So to get to your question about the South Salt Dome facility, at one point the thought was we would pursue that. It wouldn't fund the whole thing, but we would have a fire station,
water tower,
and salt dome all the same place. Well, those have, you know, based on market factors, have gone different ways, and that's okay. I think that's been the best approach for the money that would be spent on those. In identifying that, the one key factor is we really do think that a South Salt facility will help the entire city by decreasing the time to get to everybody. However, in looking at that, we want to kind of look at it. So we've master planned the site. We have the piece of property. We've master planned the site. I'll show you that. Ultimately, about $18 million ish is what we're looking at. That's at a 50-year horizon. So we're kind of looking at a 50-year horizon for that eventual.
That's quite a jump.
Yeah. So
that's for those additional phases that you talked about.
Yeah.
Like other office need or public works needs.
Get into.
Okay.
The salt dome facility itself would be less than what we've got programmed now.
So, okay.
Made of gold.
And then when we're looking at the Grissom building, again on that 50-year horizon, so we've started master plan the site. We master planned the site. It was never master planned originally, and it just kind of got added on to over time. Well, it is about 50 years old, so it's been a good expenditure for the public, but it's kind of met its useful life. The roofs, the HVAC, and a lot of that stuff need to be replaced. So that kind of shows the general budget number that it's going to take to get that site back up to a 50-year horizon. So, and these don't really include what we're going to need for ultimately for the other departments, fire and police. So that Grissom site on that, looking out at that 50-year horizon, kind of what you can potentially do with that. The transit facility could go to the west side of the site. That would necessitate in this area, there's currently fleet operations in here, so that would end up needing to move. This building potentially could be here. Again, all of this stuff has to be approved by you before we move forward with this, but this is just kind of showing the overall site work that would need to be done. Again, looking pretty long horizon on this. The South facility, so this is Mill Creek Elementary here. This would be the initial phase that we would construct. And then that would get that facility down there and get us operational. We would like to have that done by the 25-26 season at the latest. Ultimately, when you're kind of looking at what all could be done, and that's at $18 million-ish dollars, depending on what we get. Basically, what we would think would be the best use of this property would be to move our sign, signals, marking out of Public Works down to this area, have a building or two buildings down here for all of that, have truck storage, CPD remote site, and then a fueling center potentially for the entire community or for the entire Public Works area. We would also have EV charging in this area. So, you know, different pieces of that can be pursued over time.
Quick question on for the South part. So, you know, looking at our list, you know, we had some that were in the last CIP kind of plan. So part of that budget is coming from that. But we're also having, is it related to the 10 year, you know, or the 18, you know, is that part of this you're proposing for the next ballot, or is it just the you know, a piece of it? Sorry, I'm going forward, but salt.
Yeah.
I'm the salt talking about that facility? One. Yeah.
So this is what would be constructed with the existing ballot.
Right.
Yeah. And in grading and potentially some fence work as part of the original ballot. So we would deliver on the South Salt facility.
Okay. And it's the next slide, yep, that kind of the start of that scope that might be included in this next ballot.
It was important to us to look at, you know, you want to look at what all you want to do with that site at some point, determine where the best place is to put the salt dome itself and how you can, you know, we got to be able to drive through there and load up,
yeah,
and go,
yeah,
out. So that's really what, why you do this is so you know that where I'm going to put,
okay,
that. You're going to go back. I wish I'd have moved it over 5 feet left or right.
So these future ones might not be included, or you're not proposing it in this next ballot.
You would potentially get some economy of scale if you could grade the entire site. And then that would take a little extra money over just doing the grading for just this site.
Okay.
So if we have that money identified to add into it, then we would get that economy of scale.
I think some of it, they're all a little tied together because, like we said with the Grissom building, we're still trying to figure out how much of that raised grant we can use towards things that benefit all the public works and not just transit. That sounds bad.
Because a bus drives over it, maybe?
You know, what can I and can't I do? Well, we talked about at some point moving the pavement marking operation down here. So you kind of got to look at how you phase all of that and what, mm-hmm, those things cost to figure out how to use the money that we've got. I mean, I think our major preference would be to get as much of the Grissom building done as we possibly can. And then what, you know, so that makes this look like the first slide he's got, the concept for the most part, unless there was some benefit to build another building down here as part of that project. And so, like I said, you think we're slow, the federal government's even slower. We're trying to figure out what we can and can't do. That's why it took as long as it did to go to bring you all the Safe Streets for All, you know, agreement, kind of going through that same process, trying to figure out what those things look like.
Okay. Thank you.
So where do we go from here? The most important thing is the development of the task force or something like that. You know, you could do something different. That's what we did last time. That's why I keep saying that. We have hopes of having a finalized project list in late March. That allows staff time to develop information material and website information dedicated to the ballot for citizens. So with that, we're open for questions.
Questions from council for staff. Betsy.
I have questions about going back to our current CIP sales tax, the one from 2016 to 2025. Is there any way to know how much money we've taken in and exactly what projects we have finished? I know that you guys sort of galloped through a lot of that, so maybe I just need to sit down and
we're trying to get to the fun stuff.
Because I, you know, how much money did we take in or have we taken in so far? I should probably be looking at our finance director for that. He might or might not know. Because you guys have split all this up, which is great, but I'm sort of like, I'd like to check off like what
completed as progress.
What's done, what's not done, what we've given up working on, what we've changed to, you know, like, and I realize a lot of that's more history than moving forward, but
I mean, you're talking about from a monetary perspective,
yeah, or
like everything that we've got listed from a public works perspective, we're still pursuing. We intend to do everything that's in the ballot list.
You have the money?
We believe so.
To do that? Okay.
It's almost kind of looking at, you handed out the sheet that passed around to voters and community groups and everything to pass the last tax. It's, yep, almost like taking this list and saying yes. And like, also, I think important for Betsy's question, and I know questions that we've had on some of the projects that are happening now, is how the price has changed or the estimate for it, sure, has, because you mentioned supply chain. Yeah. Obviously, we know it is affected.
And piggybacking off of that, knowing that Columbia is growing and not shrinking, that if this then is are we expected to take in more? additional five, and does that change what the budget looks like?
That's what this shows. Okay. So, like I said, finance helped us with this. So if you look at the current ballot, the one in the middle, their estimate at that time. So keep in mind, these were the estimates on the front end of each one of these. Right. They estimated about, $100 million. They're anticipating more like 125 with this next ballot. Right.
So, but so, since it's now 2023, how much money have we taken in since 2016? That. And that's why I'm looking at the man in the back. Because I'd like to know what we've actually taken in. And it's sure, just so, yeah. like, sure. check, like, what have we done?
And as far as your question about putting it in a little bit different format, we can definitely do that based on this document.
It's just kind of handy when comparing, especially if it's
consistent. And that'd be good information for this task force to have,
Well, and similarly, I mean, I don't know if we would have the data because obviously records systems have changed, but similar, you know, it's kind of consistent. This is what the 2005 ballot, 2010 or 15 ballot, you know, like all of those.
Right.
Here's what has been done. I think it also helps us show the cost of things going up, right? When we talk about why it takes us a little bit longer to do something.
Well, and Matthew, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we've brought in more money than that estimate.
That's what she's asking. Going with that question, given that we've experienced growth,
Will
likely continue to experience growth.
In the last few years, I know the last 3 years we brought in more than expected.
And also the costs have gone up. So, right, it's not to say that, like, we have extra money to spend on things. It's just that hopefully.
Has that balanced out, or is there a deficit? Is there a surplus?
Yeah.
Right. We do try to factor in inflation when we create our budget numbers, but.
How good are you?
It is an estimate. And scope creep does occur. And,
yeah.
I mean, generally we're pretty good, but I'll hold off on saying.
But people will ask us that too. I mean, you know, this was the last ballot. You guys want to renew this. What have you done with this money? And while the global breakdown is interesting, the checklist would be helpful too. We did these or we chose not to do these because whatever. You know?
If you go a little bit on the slide, it shows like all the projects I've listed are listed
completed.
On there.
Ones that we're working on. Yeah. So, and I think it's also the dollar amount then too. Right. So yes, completed. It was this much more than we thought it'd be.
Or every listed project would be done if the ones that are still awaiting council approval to go forward will
pending.
Be pending. Form I have to bring form.
Yeah, exactly.
We have the money. I intend to build that project. If we decide to do something different, but we can never bring it to you.
So
I'm counting that one as something we're going to follow.
Don't mention that. Okay. Other questions? For I think one thing that had been asked before is I know that from an engineering standpoint, y'all are looking at the needs list for our roadways and sidewalks. From a council standpoint, we're wanting to make sure that we're equitably, you know, resourcing the whole community and knowledgeable that some are more expensive, like in older areas than newer. How is that? I mean, I see this as a map of some of the listed projects that kind of show where investments go. I think that information will be useful for the task force just to see, because that'll be, I'm assuming that the way that the mayor probably did it previously was allocating based on geography representation as well as, you know, whoever's on the, like, thinking about all of our different needs of the community, as well as different institutions to be represented and so forth.
That's something I think is vital for the task force to handle. You know, just to put bluntly from my perspective, there's road needs. I don't worry too much about what ward is in what. It's where the needs are, but I understand it. That's really why I think we need an outside group to analyze that from that perspective. I don't think we ignored any ward and what we put together, but that doesn't mean that there's plenty of projects in each ward. It's just a matter of how do you determine which one goes first. You know, I can tell you what I think, but that's why I think we need that task force.
Yeah, and ultimately, I mean, we want to serve the public, and we want the public to vote for
whatever
doesn't work, right?
Yeah. And I think my second question to that piece is that when we're looking at what was invested, like what has been going, you know, sometimes it seems like we might wait on a high dollar amount one because it takes time to like build it up. And so some of the smaller ones might be knocked off. Perception might seem like, oh, we're prioritizing because that's going to cost so much. And so I think making sure that that is, you know, we're having that lens.
But we don't borrow money. And so when it comes to Forum, right. The reason Forum is late is because it's a $13+ million job. Yeah. So we've got to generate that money each year so we have that money in the account. Whereas, so it's set up that way because that's how you make your money go farther. We could start with Forum, but you borrow. And so therefore, you would lose money on the back end.
Yeah. Bond.
Bond is a better way to put it.
We have not done that historically because we wanted to stretch the money.
Right. Betsy, did you, or was that Nick Foster?
It somebody. Was me. Okay. So, looking at the list, Clark Lane.
Is this 22? Are you looking at slide 22?
Yeah, 22. Clark Lane, I think, pretty easily identified as needing some major work, but it's one of the larger ticket items. So, not the largest, but third or fourth. What impact would that have on that being done? I mean, it's ranked. I guess this is a kind of ranked here, isn't it?
From a
the clinical excess crash reduction.
Yeah.
From a safety perspective, yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's been a part of conversation around here for a few years. So,
but if it got funded, then you'd have 20% less than that, so $2 million. Off of that, so you'd have $5.5 million that you could apply to another project. So typically with grants, not always, but typically it's 20% local match, 80%.
Right. I think, I'm sorry, Nick, also part of the question too would be, that's a large dollar amount one.
That's what I'm saying.
So part of me is like, how long would it take to get?
We kind of found with these larger projects, takes us, you know, you need to do the preliminary design and all that, and that takes a year, and then you have another year where you're trying to get all the right of way, and then finally you get construction on the fourth year, so you don't have to have all the money starting out the first year, so we could just put in the money that we need for preliminary design the first year, for right of way the second year. That way it frees up money for some of the other projects that are smaller that don't take up as much, so kind of how it's divvied up. I mean, like this last ballot, Laura Peebler had a big old spreadsheet, and she just kind of had the projects laid out and how the money to go. So we could do so many projects a year, and the larger one, she did give us 3 years or so to work through it all before we had to have the full money for construction, since that's the largest amount.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, so we didn't give them a time frame, like the voters a time frame on when each one was going to be done.
Right.
We did that on the back.
Yeah, and I think it's the sort of thing that's just good for us as far as council for like the messaging point of like, yes, it might say Clark Lane, but to know that people are not going to say like, Roy, you said we were going to get Clark Lane. He's like, it takes 3 years to just design. You know, I mean, like, I think that's important for at least us to know, and probably the task force to know too, as they're going out and making the presentations to the public about why this is important.
Another thing that I think about is I'm still working off plan from almost 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. So when you say, why are you doing that project? Well, it was a listed project 10 years ago. I'm just following the menu I was given. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we're doing, is we're setting this again. And so they do take a while, and councils change over, and they go, why are you doing this project? Why aren't you doing this project? Well, because we told the voters we were going to do the ones that are listed here. And that's why it's so important to get it right and do it the way you want.
Yeah. So I've got Betsy, Nick Foster, Roy.
So I had two comments. One is, we had talked about Ballinger Road at one point in time and needing to redo that entire road, but that they have there's a lot of people that walk on that road, and there's no sidewalks whatsoever. And I think the estimate was $8 million, $8.3 million, something like that. I don't see that on this list at all. So I sort of wondered about that. But then the second thing is, the Rock Quarry Road, Grindstone Parkway to Stadium Boulevard, and I know we've talked about this before, that $13 million one, is, I think, going to be really difficult to do. And I will tell you, or remind people that there was a three-year, I think it was at least a three-year task force that looked at Rock Quarry Road and if there was any way to put a pedestrian walkway along there, which there doesn't appear to be, at least to that group with help of the city. There was really no way. I mean, it's a scenic roadway. You know, our students will say, well, you need to straighten it out and and make it flat. And it's like, it's a ridge road. And when we put those apartments down there, although planning and zoning the Planning and Zoning Commission recommended against it because of all the driving of the college students, they were informed in no uncertain terms that the kids would not use that road, that they would use Providence or they would use Highway 63, old Highway 63. So I think we need to, I mean, you can leave it on that list for now, but I'm sort of looking at $13 million as available for another.
And it's not on the next page. What's the difference between these two pages?
This page shows all 18 of the projects we had Bach Miller look at. It is on the next page.
It's number five. Oh, it is. Okay. You're right.
So all this is just lops off the bottom.
Okay.
Bottom six because of the amount of money.
Okay.
And this shows. And this does look at like safety, right? I mean, that was how.
Yes.
Certainly, Clark Lane needs to be at the top, but you might want to consider Ballinger somewhere.
Yeah.
That's not on that list.
Okay. Nick Foster, then Ron.
Remember, just a little clarification on the crashes. Are these all crashes? Or are these fatal crashes or serious injury crashes or just
all? Yeah, there was a couple of ways they looked at it. Some. Taking a way that this is just all crashes expected that would occur if we did nothing, but there was that report actually looked at a lot of different factors. So those are like equivalent PDO or assessing
PDO.
Sorry, property damage only. So property damage only is just basically a crash, but you can do an equivalent PDO that includes like a cost analysis based on if there's an injury. Fatality, what that expected amount of extra savings would be.
So it's complicated, but I assume that you can tease out anticipated fatal crashes, for instance, from this number.
Yes.
Well, and as you imagine, too, that report, depending on which version you looked at, the list changes slightly. It doesn't change dramatically, but changes slightly. So I didn't want to confuse you by writing six of these lists with a whole bunch of acronyms. So this was just probably the one we consider to be the most relevant to safety.
Yeah.
We try to focus on fatality and major injuries.
Yeah. Roy.
So my question was about, in my area, of course, Ballinger as well as Clark Lane are both going to be high dollar projects. And so it's going to take longer to get those projects done. You said that it would take like 1 year for planning, another year for this, but we have projects from the last one that took all 10 years, like Forum. So with those two high dollar projects, kind of a estimation, and then like maybe 8 years or maybe 9 years. And then as those years progress, isn't the price of that also going to go up?
Yes. Prices always go up.
So then that project kind of gets pushed back even further.
So until we know the list and look at the costs of those, it's difficult to say when. I think what Allison was referring to was there's a design process and there's a, acquiring easements and right of way. And those things take, it might not be a year in some cases, but it's every bit of 9 months for each one of those before you get to construction. So how we phase those things out is just a matter of, it's a really.
All right, so next up on our agenda is the Capital Improvement Program Sales Tax 10-year renewal. I'll kick it over, I'm assuming, Griggs, to the Public Works Director.
Yes.
All right.
Okay, good evening. My name is Shane Creech, and I'm the Public Works Director. I have Allison Anderson and Richard Stone with me tonight to help keep me in line. Tonight we'll attempt to provide a project update on the current sales tax and provide some information to assist moving forward with the next sales tax. The current sales tax is a quarter cent and runs from 2016 through the end of 2025. Therefore, the sales tax must be renewed every 10 years. The sales tax is divided up between transportation projects, public safety projects, and other large city building type projects.
We would anticipate going to the voters either in August of 24 or possibly as late as April of 25. The finance department helped us develop this slide. This slide shows estimates done prior to each of the past two ballots and how those funds were broken up across public safety, transportation, et cetera. This slide also shows estimates for a new ballot and what we would, what we might look like if we held public safety at 23%, the same as the last ballot. It's important to note that these percentages are obviously at the full discretion of you, you as city council. Additional funding comes from development charges. These development charges are assessed on new construction at 50 cents per square foot of total floor area. This charge has been in place since 1989. These funds can only be used for the construction of collector and arterial streets by ordinance. And we also receive yearly funds from Boone County and their road tax. Typical uses of these funds for public safety include fire truck replacements, new fire station construction, and major facility repairs. The Molly Bowden Neighborhood Policing Center was paid for out of these funds, as was the newly opened fire station number 11. In addition to streets and sidewalks, Public Works had funds in the current ballot for renovations to the existing Grissom building and development of a South Salt Dome facility, which we will cover later in the presentation. For the 2015 ballot, a list of proposed projects was developed by Public Works and vetted by a council-appointed task force. That led to a ballot list, which was supplemental to the ordinance and ballot language. This list included major maintenance projects, street and intersection improvement projects, and annual-type projects. If you get nothing else from this pre-council tonight, it should be the need to develop this task force or something similar. The task force usually consists of a couple council members and community members appointed by council. I will now turn it over to Allison to provide a project update on the current sales tax. Allison also has a copy of the 2005 and 2015 ballot list to hand out for reference.
So I'm jumping in to, we're in our current 10-year program, which is 2016 to 2025. So I'm going to jump in and let you know kind of what we've completed and what we're still working on for those projects. So we had three street major maintenance projects. The major maintenance included, it was more than just a mill and overlay. It was, we were doing dig out repairs for base failure. We were doing curb and gutter repair and sidewalk repairs, and then we would still do a mill and overlay. So we had three projects, Range Line and Walnut. We have both those completed. And Garth Avenue, we had our IP meeting, and we're working on preliminary plans based on comments from the IP process. So that's where we are on those. We also had some listed intersection improvement projects. These projects were to improve the intersections for both traffic flow and safety, and we included both the vehicle use and non-motorized improvements in them. Form and Green Meadows, we completed, that was a roundabout. We completed two roundabouts along Nifong, one at Sinclair and one at Old Mill Creek. The Vandiver and Parker roundabout we have completed as well. That Ash Street, it started out as intersection improvement, but through the public process, it's kind of changed to non-motorized improvements along there. So we are working on the preliminary plans for that. And then Fairview and Chapel Hill is our last intersection project. And we are working on the preliminary plans for that one. Also for listed rot projects, we had some larger road improvement projects. Ballinger Lane was the first one we completed, and that included putting shoulders on the road and doing an overlay, and we tried to connect the sidewalks from the subdivisions onto the shoulders so that the shoulders could be used for non-motorized for walkers and bikers. Nifong was another project that we've completed, and that was a pretty large project that included additional driving lanes, intersection improvements, bike lanes, and sidewalks. Overlay. Discovery Parkway we've completed, and that was a actual new road that we used to construct over at Discovery
park, and it connected over to New Haven. It was a new road. Right now it is two lanes with bike lanes and sidewalks, and it's graded out so that we can expand it to four lanes in the future when that's needed. And then our final listed project for the larger road improvements is Forum. That project, we are working on the preliminary plans. We've had the interested parties meeting on that, and that also includes like additional driving lanes, intersection improvements, non-motorized improvements, and mill and overlay, and replacing the bridge. So that's a very large project that we're working on. So as Shane said, along with our listed projects, we also had categories that were more what we called annual funds. So like sidewalks, traffic calming, stuff like that. We just added money to throughout this 10-year period, and we worked on projects as they came up. Basically, they're smaller projects or larger projects that came up. You know, 10 years is a long time, more stuff comes up. So the first of the annuals was sidewalks. So we've done a lot of sidewalk projects. For the most part, for sidewalks, it's filling in sidewalk gaps. We have a few where we're repairing sidewalks as well. We try to follow, for the most of these projects, we pulled off with the sidewalk master plan. Also, this these funds, we've been able to make go farther by applying for MoDOT TAP grants and CBG grants as well, so that we can do even more projects.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Sure. A number of these projects, construction in 2026, but I assume that they're all still paid for within the CIP through 2025, correct? Mm-hmm. That money just carries over.
Mm-hmm.
And then as you've been constructing these and completing them, especially more recently, I would suppose that we've seen an increase in what the cost was versus what was projected. Is that right? And how do you address that?
Well, for like the sidewalks, we didn't have like a number of sidewalks that we were going to get done. So, and then we have been trying to pull in, you know, MoDOT's had a lot of like TAP grants and stuff like that. That's helped as well. So, I think like Nifong, that was kind of projected and to be one of the later projects. So I think we're still going to have like enough money for Nifong, the big road improvement project that's coming up.
The Forum.
Or yeah, Forum. I'm sorry.
Project,
yeah, that's what I meant.
That's going to be pretty major. Yeah.
Yes.
And the same will hold. We'll be able to manage.
When did you
that.
Say?
Well, we'll be able to manage paying for that using the CIP tax and
we should, other yes.
That we're going to receive. We plan. We hope to receive. Okay.
Also, just to kind of address that, some of the projects we've been able to get like. The Discovery Parkway, I forgot to say, like Discovery Parkway, we did end up doing Governor's cost share. So it was a 50-50 cost share that helped pay for that one. And then Ballinger MoDOT actually put money towards that project as well. And then we took over the road for that one. Some of the other projects we've been able to apply for some MoDOT money for, to extend those.
We've been able to take that money. So half of Discovery, we didn't have to pay for. So therefore, you spread that out. Some of that money went to Forum, so, you know, so as prices have gone up, there's also some contingency in there too, you know, but I don't think anybody could have anticipated the inflation we've seen in the last 10 years, but we've been real lucky.
These are some other annual funds that we had. One was the annual city, county, state projects.